Top of the morning to y'all, Church in the Falls. How are you? God has been good to you. Would you say thank you, Lord? What a great day to join together and to celebrate so many things that God has done in our life. I hope you've experienced a blessing this morning and you have something to be grateful for. And if today is a hard day, then I hope that you get the support that you need and the encouragement that you need. And we're so glad that all of you here online and in person. We're a family anyone can belong to. So wherever you're coming from, we desire for this to be a safe place to just grow in your faith. You know, we have a couple of standards, and one is the Bible. We believe it is going to teach us what we need to do to live by. So that's our bottom line. But we also understand that we're all on a journey. Some of us are at different places. So I hope you'll feel welcomed and encouraged to be here. We're very glad that you're here. And as always, our vision, our ultimate goal at Church in the Falls is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just some head knowledge. We want to experience what it's like to walk with Christ and then to make Him known. To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And you'll see how that funnels into all the decisions that we make, even the sermon today. Some of the topic is right at the heart of what that is all about. It's okay to be not okay. But it's not okay to stay not okay. And that's what we're really looking at this year and maybe even a little into next. How do we break some of those patterns and understanding the way that Satan works and the way that he trips us up and trying to grab a hold of those things, engaging the power of God that he's made available, trying to live smart and wise. And these are hard things to do. And doing them together is always better. And that's why I think God formed the church in the first place, is a place for us to join together and encourage one another. Right now, we're talking about identity, and I've got a proper Irish greeting that we're going to look at here in a minute. But before we do that, let me give you a quick review of where we're headed and where we're coming from. Excuse me. The first thing we talked about is if you can lose it, it's not your identity. The identity that we have is not something that comes and goes, that we earn or that we work towards. It's something that God has imprinted into our very DNA. It's who we are as God has made us. And that's the starting place all of this discussion has to be. Second, we looked at the fact that we are so easily deceived. Satan's number one tool is to lie to us and to trick us. We see that in the Garden of Eden. We see that in our daily life. And the big lie that we'll take on a lot more aggressively in the fall is a simple idea. Self-worth equals performance plus others' opinion. There's lots of ways that we experience performance and a lot of other opinions. That is a lie. And that is one of the great ways that Satan effectively fools us. So we need to be aware of that. And then we moved into the Tater family. The hesitator, spectator, imitator, dictator, agitator, commentator, etc. At the end of the day, all these labels are just various forms of something more important. That is what? We're all just taters. But we're taters. Remember how I drew your attention to the fact that if a king and a queen want a sandwich, they speak a word and someone gets them a sandwich. When God formed the world, He just spoke and there it was. But when He made us, just like a king and a queen, if they want a prince and a princess, then they join together in love and they create that. God comes to the world that He made and digs His hands into the dirt and creates right out of the dirt a bunch of taters. In His very image. Something very special about that. And so we need to understand that going into this as well. And then Michael brought us into this grand idea that grace received leads us to a new identity. It's one of the things that God sets the tone for our identity. And one of the ways He does that is He showers us, He engages us, He draws us. And when those experiences with God happen, it moves us to go, wait a minute, maybe I'm misunderstanding. I want to search for what my real identity is, because why is God treating me this way? And there's a lot of power in that. And then we looked at the concept of pathways, things that control us, both good and bad. Remember, a rut with no end is a grave, right? The rhythms that we create, both good and bad. One of them is life-giving, these patterns that we have, and the other one is dead end. It's addiction, things that draw us away. It's one of the ways that Satan lies is he gets us hooked into those things, and it draws us away. And then last week, Michael reminded us of the new car smell and how powerful it is to realize that every day, one of our core identity realities, beyond just the fact that we are taters, the new thing that is laid upon us as we follow the Lord is that we are a new creation. We are a new creation every day. Every day, we're a new creation. And this is a powerful concept. That means there is no end to our journey. We can just lean into it, and it's fresh. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We get a new car smell every day. And speaking of smell, in a good Irish way, I'd like to remind you of this fantastic commercial. Push play.
Fresh and clean as a whistle. That's Irish Spring. Fresh and clean as a whistle.
Y'all remember that, right? Clean as a whistle. I used to love that. I still was whistling that this week. And I thought, I've got to bring that up. Because it fits exactly with what we're talking about. When I ask you a question, what do you smell like when people first get to know you? Think of the bigger image here. What do you smell like? What's it like? You know how when you get a whiff of something, you're like, something smells funny. You're not talking about literally something smells funny. You're picking up on motivation. You're picking up on nuance. You're picking up on something that's just not quite right. So I want to ask you, what do you smell like when people first engage you? What are they picking up off of you? Is it a drive to be successful? Is it a drive to look your best? Is the vibe they get, wow, what a nice dresser. What's the vibe they pick up on you? What is it that they smell? Because I think that there's a core element that we are taught in the gospel about our identity that revolves around this concept. Our identity of Christ. Because if we're from Christ and we're with Christ, if we're knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in an experiential way, then we would go out into the world and make Him known. It's because we smell like Him. Right? The shepherd smells like the sheep. Vice versa. There's something about interacting that way that is really critical towards our Christian walk. And one of the ways that we know who we are. Now, I mentioned this video, and it's just so great. We're going to play it right now, and then we're going to make an analogy. It'll set our tone for today. So go ahead and push play on this last one.
Pew.
Pew. Pew. Dude, pew. Pew. A new fragrance for churchgoers.
I love that. It makes me smile every time. You know, it's a double entendre here, right? The pew that we sit on, supposedly at church, it brings about that image of something grandiose, and it's in a smell. You know, as all good commercials on a smell are going to go. But then there's also the other side of pew, which is pewy, right? Oh, pewy, that smells bad. And this sets us up for a great passage in 2 Corinthians. And I want to go there briefly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talks a little bit about one of our identities, one of the ways that we know who we are, and one of the things that's important about the way we live and the way we should visualize ourselves, which is really at the core of what identity is how we view ourselves and how we live according to that view. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 2, I'll just read through this. I've got the highlights on the screen there. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Making Him known. That's what this is all about right here. This is our core vision of what it means to be a follower of God. Everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma, the pew of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death, pewy. To the other, the fragrance of life, pew. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. But on the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. You hear that mission, that identity. This is one of the big things that we can grab a hold of. later on in chapter 5, he'll use the word ambassador. We are ambassadors. We have a ministry of reconciliation, he'll say, and many other things like that. But it sets the tone right here by saying that everything we do, there's a rhythm to it that brings about a scent that people are going to pick up on. They're going to be like, something, I smell something off of you. Something's different. What is that about you? And we have to say, well, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We experience Him. And now it's rubbed off on us. And so now when we go into the world, people are going to go, something's different about you. And it's going to rub off on them. That is part of our core identity. We have to know that this is what it's all about. You notice a few identity words in there. Victor. Triumphal procession. I mean, can you hear the song? We are the champions, right? That's the vibe here. God is leading us. That means there's confidence in what we do. We are victors. Have you read the back of the book? Let me spoil it for you. We win. We're on the right team. God wins. We're on the team. We're the winners. We get the Super Bowl ring. He leads us as victors in a triumphal procession. That's part of our identity. Now, if you were a Super Bowl winner, you would think that that was part of your identity because it feels like a victory that's important. But the next year, guess what? There's another winner. The ring might be worth something, and that's valuable, but at the end of the day, when you die, can you take it with you? No. And if you can lose it, it's not your identity. But the kind of thing we crave in wanting something like a Super Bowl ring is real in Christ. There's a real winner. There's a real battle. And we get to be on the winning team. And Christ will lead us in it. I mean, that's just as black and white as it comes. We can live as victors. And that's what's... If we get that in our brain, it'll change how we live. Another one is, we're the very smell of Christ, both the comfort and the crisis. For those who are starving for something, why am I here? What makes sense about my life? What good am I as a person? What is the meaning of life? The people and all of us have these moments. When they bump into you and you smell like Christ, you know what they do? You. They want to know because they sense it off of you. They want to know about the hope you have. It's just a natural inclination. This is part of your identity. You will be spotted and recognized immediately. And for those who are perishing, you smell like death. You remind them of the choices that they've made and the decisions to, you know, I'm going to do my own thing and I really don't want you reminding me of how bad a decision it is. You know, just keep your opinion to yourself. It's an amazing reality. That's part of our identity. We're a truth detector. So my question again, do you live up to the smell test? How are you living? This is part of our identity as Christians. We're ambassadors, as he said in the last verse, they're sent by God. That's a pretty powerful thing. If you were to tell someone, hey, I'm an ambassador for the United States to pick a nation, what would they do? Probably even more than a doctor or a lawyer. They'd be like, oh, wow, really? That's important. That's special. That's a great identity to have, right? We are ambassadors of the Creator of the universe. I mean, that is such a magnanimous reality. And those are the kind of things we need to dwell on. That's part of that aroma of Christ. We go out into the world and we smell like something better than the world. And they know it. And they want it. You don't have to speak truth. You don't have to give book, chapter, and verse. You just live right and they will notice it and will want to know more. Now I encourage you to pray and ask and look and be, you know, seek. Those are important things. But at the end of the day, what is most important is being the kind of person that God has called us to be. Living out of that identity will help you do that. And it's interesting. Sometimes in the world, the most powerful grace is from our most broken place. This one we're not so keen on. But how can you call it grace if it doesn't involve something that is needy? There's a broken place. All of us have many of these. And when God meets us in those broken places, in that grace, is one of the most powerful things. What does Paul say? Remember? In my weakness is my strength. Something very important about understanding that. That is one of the ways that we're victor. We are weak and God has engaged us in that. And guess what? We are victor. We are victors. That grace that has come into our life because of these challenges and pains that we struggle in this world with. We know for a fact that the next life will not have them. We will be victorious over them. Not because of anything we've done, but because of the one we trust in. That is powerful. That is part of our identity. We are victors and we know where we're headed. You know, if you take an egg and put it in boiling water, what happens to it? It gets harder, doesn't it? Because life happens and it's painful and it's hot and the egg will stiffen up and get more and more firm. But you put a tater in hot water, what happens to it? It gets perfect, right? Put a little butter in that bad boy and suddenly you're having a great evening. It's the same water, it's the same heat, it's the same stress. But the difference is knowing your role. An egg hardens up, right? And a tater softens up. I think I got a picture of that. Just for visual perspective. Just soak that in for a minute. The circumstances don't really change. It's the difference between how we react to the heat and to the water. Yeah, you could turn those back up again. We'll do it in a minute. Here's another passage. In 2 Corinthians 1, we see a powerful, kind of a visual of one of the ways that God does this through the grace. In fact, I think I had a picture of Mother Teresa here. Mother Teresa could call on any world leader during her life and get an audience. Now that's an impressive pedigree right there. If you just said, hey, she is an ambassador to everybody. If she calls, you listen. In fact, people call her, like President Reagan would call her, and she would put him on hold. I'm not kidding. For reals. And many other people like that. She had real power in this world. The kind of power she never sought after. You know how she did that? In moments just like this. She saw people in the image of God and said, they are imagers of God and they deserve dignity. And if someone's dying, someone should be with them to witness in dignity what it means to be human. And so she gave up all things and sacrificed to have moments like this. Because where she lives in Calcutta, people could literally die in the street. It's just the way life is. And she thought, that's not acceptable. Because that person is in the image of God. And they are a tater like I'm a tater. And they deserve the dignity of someone witnessing and loving on them. She said things like, if you judge people, you don't have time to love them. And she lived it. And she lived it to such a degree that even this world gave her power. Because she was tapping into something about her true identity. And that is understanding that she's a tater and understanding that every other person in the world shares that DNA with her. They are imagers of God. She valued that. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, we read some more powerful words. I think, again, one of the ways that God uses our new identity beyond taters, but followers of God, taters. There's a new layer that we're beginning to explore now. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now, that's just a great statement about God. But check this out. Who, this God, comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. We are given comfort for the very explicit reason so that it would flow right through us into other people. The very same comfort. We know the Lord Jesus Christ and we what? We make Him known. We smell like something better than this world by our very lives. That is our identity. It's one of the ways that it fleshes out is we realize I'm hurting. I'm broken. I've got all kinds of confusing thoughts and I'm trying to wrestle with it. And God's going to show up and meet you there. And in His grace, real power is going to flow from you. Because you know about that. You know about that sin. You know about that pain. You know about that brokenness. You know about that loss. And God met you there. And you come to someone in the world who doesn't know. And you say, you're a tater like I am. And I want to tell you about some more identity that the maker of you has for you. And you love them and you smell like Christ and they're drawn to you like people were drawn to Mother Teresa. There's something special about that. And because you know the Lord Jesus Christ and because they get to know you, they get to know Christ as well. And it's in the painful places that really make the difference. When you hide those things, you miss one of the greatest opportunities to live out of a better identity. Because you're not identified by your brokenness. You're not identified by your sin or your challenges. You're identified by the fact that God came and helped you overcome them. And in many cases, that God is with you in the midst of overcoming them in real time. And being vulnerable with that reality is really powerful. This is just one of the many passages that highlight God's intent to do that in your life. It's part of who we are. Remember we talked about maybe a week or so ago, justified, right? I'm justified by grace. It's just as if I'd never sinned. It like resets the clock. It's not that you were sinful and He scrubbed it off. No, it's just as if I'd never sinned. That's what it means. It's like it washes away. It resets the clock. It's a constant do-over. I want to tell you another word today, the word redeemed. It fits into a very similar category, except it's even stronger. One way to look at redeemed, and there's several words that have translated this, but the idea behind that is to pay the debt or to make the debt go away. You owe $1,000, God pays it, now you don't owe any money, right? Well, redeemed has a much grander concept. Like in a couple places, like in Ephesians 5, 16, Colossians 4, 5, one of the words there translated in as redeemed is translated a little different. It gives it a little nuance. Making the most of every opportunity. And Colossians says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most, redeem, of every opportunity. There's something about taking something and making it the best it can be. That's what redemption looks like. And I want to go so far as to say, when God redeems us, it's more than just getting rid of our sin. And we're on the middle neutral line where at any moment we can fall back into sin and He'll pull back out again. As if we're living on a teeter-totter. No, redemption's much grander than that. The concept of redemption is that in our brokenness and in our pain, when God meets us there with that comfort, and then that comfort comes through us, what happens is it's actually better than if we had never had those sins and problems in the first place. To the degree we can almost look back and say, well, I would never wish that on my worst enemy, but I'm glad it happened that way. Only God does that kind of stuff. The very things that we think define us as broken are ironically the very things that God meets us in and defines His grace to the world. Through that brokenness, through that pain, through that struggle. That's why we have to be so vulnerable with that. That is the sweet spot for us. You read your Bible this week, does nothing for nobody. Maybe you, if you had a good connection with God. The fact that you showed up to church every week does nothing for nobody. The fact that you struggle with cancer and you felt a presence of God that made you get through it in a way that you couldn't explain. Now that is powerful. And there's some people who need to hear that. The fact that you struggle with this temptation or that temptation and that you're wrestling with it and that you've had success because God has been present and He's provided tools and accountability and strength and all the blessings that the church brings. Now that is something someone needs to hear about. And they're craving that. They're looking for that aroma. Someone show me, teach me, help me. It's in the broken places, the wrestling that really makes the difference. Making the most of every opportunity. That's what God is doing for us. Oh yeah, I remember that thing that you did. Don't worry, watch what I'm going to do with it, God is saying. He's got a much bigger idea. Think about salt. We're supposed to be salt and light, right? Salt. If you just eat salt, how pleasurable is that? Anybody squished with salt water recently? Can you just say nasty, right? It's not what we want to do. You don't drink the water in the ocean. It's gross. Yet, you put a little salt on a steak, right? It's a whole different thing. Same salt. There's something important about that bitter thing that turns things into to better flavors. That's what we're called to do in the world. We're supposed to take all this bitter brokenness and use it in a way, with God's help, through the blessings and the grace of God, to bring about beauty and flavor, aroma to the world. We're called to be light. Well, if you have a dirty shirt and someone turns the light on, everybody sees the dirty shirt, right? That's not a good thing. But the light also bleaches the shirt, cleans it up, purifies, gets rid of germs. You know, you can take water bottles and leave them out in the sun for 24 hours. It'll kill all the germs. It'll purify them. Light has this quality about it. It exposes things. But in the end, the result is what you really actually want. We're supposed to be light to the world. This is the nature of this identity in Christ. It's more than just our fingerprint in the image of God. It's something that has redemption mixed in and new creation mixed in. It's something new and better. I'd say it's just hearkening back to the way He made us in the first place, because we've gotten off course. You could look at it that way, but it's so radically new. Language like we die to our old selves, right? There's something really important about God is wanting to communicate with us. That in order to get back to our original image, we have to strip all the other off. Literally, words like death are involved. So it's new enough, we might as well call it a new identity in Christ. We have to start getting rid of things. Like all these add-ons. They make Mr. Potato Head look pretty awesome, you know? They're fun. But if you start stripping all these add-ons away, and people begin to realize, okay, you know, I really don't need those eyebrows, my angry eyes. I don't really need this, and I don't really need that. I wish I could see better and understand, but at the end of the day, it's not really about how much I know. Last time I read, the tree of knowledge led to death. I don't really need that. And all these things, they're add-ons to what makes us who we really are. If we're taters and we add all this stuff, we distract from our core identity. But here's the thing. Once we get back to becoming a tater, we begin to understand our true image in Christ. And then we become a Christian and begin to follow Him. And He adds some image to us. Some identity, like we're new creations every day. And we are the aroma of Christ and many others that we're going to begin talking about. What happens is God shows up and He gives us light. Christ's light literally shines in and through us. You can dim the lights a little bit. Check this out. Suddenly, when the light of God is in us, we can see all of our thin skin. Suddenly, we can see all the holes and the scars from the decisions that we've made. Oh, I think I need a mustache. I'm not really pleased with just being a tater. I think I'd rather have eyes that look like this and eyebrows and need all these things. And if I just have the right degree in the right place and all the... And we suddenly realize at some point, these things are all going to go away. They're not even real. They're temporary at best. And we remove them finally. We're getting right with God. And guess what? We've got scars and thin places and broken places. But here's the beauty. That's where the light shines through. Our identity in redemption is more than just being a tater. It's being a broken tater with the light of God coming through our broken places. That combination is an identity that makes us victors in this world and the next. It's that identity that allows us to have a new creation, because we're not dependent on our thick skin or non-holiness. That's an ironic word, isn't it? Our broken stuff is where God shines through us. Just like a jack-o'-lantern. You scar it, you cut it, you put all kinds of stuff through it. You destroy it, kill it, and gut it. You put a light in it, and what happens? It becomes a face. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the face of Christ in this world. That is what God has called us to. And He uses our scars as one of His main points. So much so that when we look back, we can't fully image God quite the way we wanted until we include those broken places. That's what redemption looks like. You can turn the lights back up. This is an important concept because if you believe that the thin places, the agitator, dictator, hesitator reality of your life, your broken places, your psychological dysfunctions, your temptations, your procrastinations, your addictions, those things that you think define you and then decide you don't want them anymore. If you can see those as opportunities for God, it changes their entire dynamic. The problem is, we cover the holes. What did Jesus say? Don't put your light in a what? A bushel. Right? Don't hide it. And that's what we do. We say, no, I'm doing great today. I'm doing fine. Right? Pretending like we're hiding all that. Everybody knows. You can read it. I mean, you know how it is. You can look at someone in a minute and be like, man, they're really jacked up today. I think part of the best reality of our new identity in Christ is this concept of redemption, where all of the broken places are ironically the very places in our weakness where God's strength is seen. It's in those places that make the most difference in the world. And so either we're A, being dishonest about those places, B, trying to cover them and hide them and pretend like they're not there, or we're honest. Yep, I'm having a hard time with that. Oh, God's got me through another day. Knowing that we're victorious, not because of our lack of holes, but because of God's presence in our life. That's the distinguishing mark. That's where Satan wants to lie and trip us up. He wants us to think that somehow those things are so important. If I can just cover all the holes, I'll be a good Christian. If I just do this the right way, and if I just do that the right way, that is not what God has called us to. God has called us to submit ourselves and say, yep, that's me. It's about honesty and truth. Not about knowledge. Not about opportunities. It's about being an authentic person with all of our junk and then tagging it with, but it really doesn't matter because God has got this. And I've seen Him do it in my life and I've seen Him do it in other people's lives, and as long as I live, I'm going back to Him. He's the only thing that makes sense. As many of you know, I flew down to Georgia this week for my grandmother's funeral. It was a very healing time for me. I didn't do the funeral. My dad did part of it. My cousin did part of it. And I realized a couple things. One is I realized how jacked up my family is. Yeah, you know, you got one too, I bet. Right? You look around the room and you think, wow, there's so many pains and problems. And then I immediately went, oh my goodness, I'm pretty jacked up too. And there was one thing that came out really loudly, and my mom shared this with me as we were driving with flowers to the house for dinner, and it really sunk in deep. My grandmother and all of her challenges, and she had some really big ones, and I won't go into that, but some really nasty stuff. She had one thing she always came back to. God's got this. I don't know how to deal with this pain. I don't know what to do. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But you know what? I'm just going to trust God. The song that she requested, the only song for her funeral she requested, it's one of my favorites. I am weak, but thou art strong. Remember that great, almost bluesy, jazzy kind of old sound of that song? I am weak, but thou art strong. That idea was how she lived. She was the faith button for our entire family. My mom said that she would not have married my dad had it not been for that little nugget of trust God that my grandmother put into her. And if she didn't marry my dad, I wouldn't be here at all. And even if I were to be there, if it weren't that relationship that came from my grandmother, I wouldn't be standing on a platform of faith that I am. I wouldn't be a preacher here today. So any blessing you felt, you owe it to my grandmother. Just straight up. But it was in her pain that came through. Don't be afraid of that stuff. It just is what it is. This life is hard. And it's twisted because Satan is constantly messing with it. Twisting your glasses all around and making you feel nauseated. And at the end of the day, the only thing we can do is say, yes, and light, yes. Don't know what he's going to do with it. But I don't got to worry about that. Because I know whom I believe in. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I commit to him until the last day. It's a perspective that is at the core of what makes us who we are. It's our identity. God's light shines not in spite of our brokenness, but distinctly because and through it. That is the reality of our identity. That's why we always win. The more broken we are, the more glory God can get. It's ironic. And it is the way he works. That's what redemption looks like. It's retroactive in a way that is dynamic and supernatural and eternally impacting on both your life and all those who come in contact with you. That is what it means to be in the aroma of Christ. It smells like fix. It smells like health. It smells like honesty. It smells like safety. It smells like a church and a family where anyone can belong. It smells like the kind of thing that you go, I don't know all about it, but I just need to know more. It's what Jesus did when he lived. That's why the tax collectors and the sinners and the people in the town who would normally hide from Pharisees would find him. The Zacchaeus would climb the tree and they would wait just for a moment because maybe, just maybe, maybe I'm important enough, he'll stop. Zacchaeus' world was rocked by Jesus saying, I see you up there. And it's not because you're wealthy that I want to see you. It's because I know who you are, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house today. This is what God desires for all of us. To be vulnerable, to let it out so that he may come into it. One last passage, Hebrews 10. Remember those earlier days, the writer says, after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed and insulted and persecuted. And at other times you stood by and watched those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, this is in quotes, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. Persevere is the message. I know the pain is hard. I know the struggle is real. I know the brokenness seems overwhelming. I know it feels like you've just floated long enough and you don't want to fight anymore. And God says, no. That's when it's just getting good. Just hang on a little longer. Tomorrow's a new day. 2021 is a new year. Let me encourage you with these words. God wants to use the pain of your life to do supernatural things in the world. And if you die, you get to escape some of that. And so let's thank the Lord for that. But there's an opportunity missed there. So as long as you're here, as long as you're living in this situation that you find yourself in, whatever it may be, ask God the simple question. What do I smell like? How do you shine through these holes in this brokenness? And what mustaches do I need to pull off? What mask do I need to pull down so I can be honest and vulnerable and allow God to do what God wants to do? How are you dealing with your brokenness? Is it a shadow? Is it something you're hiding? Or are you honest about it? I know these are hard things. And Sunday morning is not a great time to do that, but that's why we have things like life groups. That's why you can come find us. That's why we put our cell phone numbers in the bulletin. So you can reach out and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. Or I feel successful in this, but I just keep coming up short. And we can pray with you and encourage you because we're all in the same boat, church. I promise you that. That's what's beautiful about this. It's a safe place to belong where all your brokenness is assumed. Because you are just a tater like I am. And all the holes that you've created, God wants to shine through. I'm going to leave you with that. The aroma of Christ is a great privilege and part of our core identity. Would you join with me? Let's pray together. Father, I ask that you would strike our heart with what we need to hear today. Lord, speak through me in spite of me. Lord, you know I am a broken and a confused man. I'm just doing the best I can. And I know everyone here is in the same boat. We are just taters, but Lord, you have made us special. Lord, I pray that you would help us embrace that reality, that we are your imagers, that we are precious to you, that we are princes and princesses of a greater kingdom, that our allegiance is not to all the stuff of this world, that the possessions of the next world are so much greater, that the eternal things will last, the unseen, our character and our decisions to allow you to wash us clean. Lord, we are grateful and we celebrate this word redemption, just as if I'd never. This idea that it's better even because of the pain, even because of the brokenness, even because of the sin, that you retroacted in such a way that through that pain, through that weakness, you do amazing things. Father, I pray that you would strike our heart with that. Would you awaken specific things in each of us today that we could begin to open our clenched fist, begin to pull down the mask, to be vulnerable and honest for the sake of being the aroma of Christ. That you would comfort others through us with the same comfort you bring to us. Lord, I pray this boldly in the name of Jesus, and I ask for your Holy Spirit to lead it. Let all who agree say, amen. Let's stand together.